So we are now on our second session of the Guiding Dates, Guiding Lights in Discovering Your Beshert. So in our first session, just a brief review. We discussed the concept of focus and using the golden threads. And I hope that some of you or all of you had an opportunity to use it. And I'd like to certainly like to hear your impressions, your feedback. You can certainly email me at slostrov@gmail.com. Because the Golden Threads deals with the concept of your life mission. And then we discuss the issue of the concept of Menuchas HaNefesh and the necessity of Menuchas HaNefesh in building a relationship. I quoted a Chazal that said that without Menuchas HaNefesh, there is no love, there is no giving, there is no shalom, no shalva, no peace of mind. So that's certainly required in building a relationship. And then we went over the five dimensions of self. And those dimensions of self by which we determine our sense of Menuchas HaNefesh, or the opposite, which is Pizur HaNefesh. Pizur means to be fragmented. And of what people describe today as ADD, right? Or anxiety. So the five dimensions of self include relationships and our thoughts, our feelings, our physiology, what happens to our bodies, and our behavior. Now, today we're going to go on and talk about thoughts and feelings. Primarily on thoughts, we may move on to feelings. And the quality of our thinking when we're dating or thinking about dating or thinking about not dating or about our lives. And how we take disturbing, disruptive, negative thoughts, problematic thoughts, and how we transform them to more productive way of thinking, a way of thinking which enables us to build a relationship. Now, before we even approach the issue of dating, I want to discuss a concept or a mashal that I recently wrote about in a book that I wrote. And the mashal is about a crown. And I'm not going to read the mashal, but I'll describe it. So imagine that you have a talent that you can create crowns for royalty, for monarchy. And you're told that there's a king about to be coronated. And of all the professional crown makers in the world, you're the one who's going to, you've been chosen to create this crown. And so you're very honored, and you realize that for this king, you really must acquire the finest jewels, the finest gold, the finest artisans, and create a crown that is unparalleled in all the world. And you set out to find these artisans, to find these jewels, to find the precious metals, the gold, and with it, and with all this talent, and with all this magnificent jewels and gold, you create an incredible, incredible crown. Now, and the day that the king is coronated, everyone is awestruck by the magnificence of the crown that he's wearing. Now, what I've just described to you really is a chazal, and it describes how everyone in this world, our greatest mission of all, is to create a crown for the Ribono Shel Olam. And each act and each chesed and our tefillahs and our Torahs are all jewels that go into this crown. But it goes beyond that, you see, but it's not just the actions on a superficial level, because the preciousness of the crown is based on who we are internally, and who we are internally is really founded in our level of Nukos and Nefesh. Purim is in a couple of days, and someone told me Dvar Torah based on Menuchos Nefesh, and it says that when Haman was planning all these horrifically evil plans for Am Yisrael, Mordechai was not perturbed in the least. It says, "Lo kam v'lo zaz." He didn't move. He didn't get up. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir, said he didn't move because he was in a state of menuchos and nefesh. Why am I telling you this? It's nice Purim Torah. For another reason, because when we talk about thoughts and feelings in relationship building, we really want to maintain that level of menuchos and nefesh, particularly when it comes to thoughts. Let me describe what thoughts are now. During a given day, each of us has an incredible number of thoughts. I've heard estimates of about 50,000. Doesn't sound feasible, logical, but it's true. Because, you know, if you're driving a car, you're aware of what's happening on the road. You're not thinking of it consciously, but you're aware. You're thinking. And if something happens to appear in the road, your mind is going to go into action, and you're going to do something. You're going to stop the car, or you're going to go to the next lane. You're going to do something. You're thinking. And if I want to pick up a glass of tea, right, and I pick up my hand to reach the tea, I'm thinking about a hand and about a tea and how to grasp it and whether it's the right temperature and the right flavor and the bracha I'm going to make. All of these thoughts are flowing. So we have about 50,000 thoughts a day. And some of those thoughts can be very positive and upbeat. Oh, I'm going to see my best friend tonight. Oh, going to buy a new suit, new dress, going to a bar mitzvah. Right? And some thoughts can be very negative. So weather's lousy. I don't like the news that's coming. It's coming my way. I pick up the paper. Listen to talk radio and I'm very disturbed. Right? Those thoughts are also in my mind. And so when we talk about menuchas nefesh, we're a composite, an ongoing composite of many, many thoughts. Some people, the word today we use is overthinking. I'm an overthinker, which means that there are thoughts flying through my mind like a Vietnam battle zone, right? Or we can even say people deal with OCD, right? They obsess with different thoughts. And so these thoughts are flying left and right. Some may be more positive, but many are quite negative. And so to maintain our menuchas nefesh, particularly in the area of relationship building, we need to know how to manage our thoughts, how to kind of be aware of our thoughts. And then if they're destructive or negative thoughts, how do we neutralize them? How do we transform them to something more positive? And so we're going to learn today a skill that will enable you to transform your negative thoughts. And we'll go into in a little while the purpose of it in relationship building and even when you're not dating. But we're going to take one step back because there are three of these skills that we're going to be teaching you. Now, each of them has a different name, but the name has nothing to do with the actual skill. I just kind of took these acronyms so you can remember them. So if I say FACT, you'll know what I'm talking about. Oh, that's what he means. I'm going to use FACT. There's another skill that we call PAGES, and that's spelled P-A-G. We don't use the E-S. And there's another skill called FLAG, F-L-A-G. PAGES is used to build up our sense of self-esteem, and FLAG is to deal with life's challenges, ongoing challenges that many have. All of us have challenges every day. But these three skills all relate to our thoughts and our feelings, and they are, once you master them, you'll find that the ability to build a relationship, to stay in a relationship, is so much more enhanced. It's really a game changer in your life. Aside from the many ways you'll be using these skills, whether with your friends or at work or every aspect of your life. Now, I want to describe to you how I came, because this is very important, to develop these skills, FACT, PAGES, and FLAG. The common denominator between all of them is that the second letter in each of these words, FACT and PAGES and FLAG, have the letter A. And the A, you'll find, stands for appreciation. And I want to briefly describe to you how I came to discover these life-changing skills and why they play such an important role in everything I teach and how they have helped many, many people become engaged, get married, and stay married. The story is like this. I was, a number of years ago, I was contacted by somebody who I had helped this couple, this young woman, get married. But now the situation was very different in her life, because the husband that she married and loved very dearly was now on his deathbed. And he was suffering terribly from an advanced stage of skin cancer, bone cancer rather. And the pain was unbearable. And she reached out to me and said to me, essentially, "You helped me get married. I'm going through something which I can't possibly describe. Perhaps you can help me." And I went to the hospital, and after I had not seen her in a few years, and I saw her husband lying there, seemingly close to his last days on earth, but in excruciating pain. And I was just overwhelmed by the anguish. Possible this was, I saw a picture of the couple with their children, how close they looked, how lovingly they held each other in the picture with their children. And that was just 6 months ago, and now he's on his deathbed. And I went to the hospital a few times, and I was just completely at a loss of what to do and what to say. I'd never encountered anything so tragic before in my life. The husband was actually a poet. He had written some poetry, beautiful, beautiful stuff, and Shira Shirim, and she herself was a very poetic individual. And then a few weeks later, while he was still alive, and I spent the Shabbos in Muncie, and kind of brought this problem with me. And Shabbos morning, I got up and walked to shul, a shul that I'd never been to before. I realized that it was a summer morning. Sun was shining. I was walking on this country road, and I realized I was lost. I wasn't too worried. I was early. This is Muncie. You're not going to be that lost. And I said, "Hashem, if you brought me to this place, there must be a reason." I walked and I walked. And I marveled at the beauty of the mountains and the beauty of the sun in the early morning and the birds, early Shabbos morning. And I was overwhelmed by the sense of the flowers and the blossoms and bloom and everything that was just incredibly beautiful. And even in that state, I had to blurt out, I said, "Hashem, you created such an incredibly beautiful world. Thank you." And at that moment, I realized that just by saying that, without even realizing it, my mood had been transformed. We all know about that appreciation. There's a whole movement called positive psychology. But whatever we say about psychology, you can say it. It's not the same as thanking Hashem for life and creating a beautiful world. This is not a pragmatic exercise. It's being overwhelmed by the beauty of life that Hashem has created. And from that moment, I began to put together the skeleton of these skills. This must have been about 6 or 7 years ago, and I've been using them ever since. That skill that I developed then was for this woman, and it was very important. This flag, which I'm not going to go into now, that'll be the third one we learn. But the second one I developed is called FACT. And FACT deals with our thoughts. So in our lives, we have many missions. We're here to get married. We're here to have a family. We're here to build a crown for the Hashem. We're here to place the jewels in the crown. And one way we do it is by maintaining our menuchos nefesh, So the first concept I want to teach you is that there is no such thing as a healthy negative thought about a person that you are dating. What I mean by that is that we never want to let our negative thoughts influence our perception of the person. We may try to build up some sense of who this person is. Maybe we don't like the way that person is dressed, or maybe there's some kind of a facial feature, or we may see that there's something that not quite what we expected, or doesn't live up to, you know, other people that we have dated, people we work with, family. But we don't want to let that, we want to observe it, but we don't want to let it affect us, because the moment we go into a negative thought, there's no way of coming out of it. One person I taught fact to told me the following. I thought we were dating. He told me it was on Yom Kippur, davening Musaf. He was about to daven Musaf, and he noticed that there was a, it's a true story, piece of cellophane on his shoe, on his sneaker, right? And it bothered him. And he didn't know whether he should kick it off or not. Maybe it's Yom Kippur, maybe it's glued on, he doesn't know. But before he said, wait a minute, I can't daven, I can't stop thinking about this piece of cellophane on my shoe, right? And he was stuck. He didn't know what to do. And then he remembered fact, which I'm going to teach you very shortly. And Baruch Hashem, he was able to daven. Or, but I'll give you something even more germane, more closely connected to what we're talking about. A young man called me. It was about 9 o'clock at night. I knew that he was going on a date. I knew he was about to propose. And he told me he's standing outside the house of this young woman, and he's holding on to the ring that he's going to give her. He's about to walk up the steps to pick her up and to take her out. But he remembered as he walked that she has a birthmark. And he said to me, as he called me, he says, I always knew the birthmark was there. It always bothered me, but now I just can't get out of my mind. And now it's, for some reason, that birthmark, which may have been the size of a, who knows, maybe a barley corn, right? was as big as the Goodyear blimp in his mind. He didn't know what to do. Right? That's when we use fact, right? That's when we take this thought and we bring it down to size, and we gain control over the way our minds work, over our overthinking. That's what fact is about. Recently, I saw someone who went out with a young man who had a kind of a pointy nose, right? And she couldn't get past it. Used fact and was able to quiet it down. And the relationship is, Baruch Hashem, doing very well. So, what is fact? You can write this down. I'm going to go with each of the of these letters very carefully, and I'm going to teach you a wonderful skill. So you can put the words FACT, F under the F put A, under the A put C, and under the C put T, right? Fact. Next to the letter A, F rather, put the word freedom. Next to the letter A, the word appreciation, as we have described earlier in my Shabbos morning epiphany, right? Next to the word, next letter C, put caring. And T, we're going to write trust. F-A-C-T. Now, what are we doing here? When you are in a negative thought, now you may be out with somebody who does something very inappropriate, right? Totally inappropriate. Who may even show a very bad midah, right? I once was talking to a young woman who told me that her husband drives 85 miles an hour, no matter what. And even though her knuckles are white, he doesn't want to slow down. And I told her, you better be careful. I don't know if this is going to work, right? There are some thoughts we don't want to forget. When it deals with midos, when it deals with a lack of sensitivity, a lack of caring, those thoughts we don't want to forget. We want to hold on to that. But there are many other thoughts that we see during a date, right, that don't really contribute, but really undermine the relationship building. So, but what do we do when that nose is too pointy, or when that birthmark is, right? Even though it's small, it still bothers us. Or when a dress isn't right, or a tie isn't right, or the place we're going to isn't great, right? Or the planning isn't so-so, could have been better, right? Or the piece of pottery that you sculpted, he or she was not as impressive as you thought it would be, right? Or who wants to be hatchet throwing, or any of these things? I don't want to be here, right? These are all thoughts. So we're in a negative state of mind. We're in Pizer and Nefesh, right? We're in Pizer and Nefesh territory, and we want to get to that Neshama state of mind. We want to get into Nukus and Nefesh. Now, let me describe something incredible that you probably never heard before. The human brain has 100 billion cells. It is the most complex entity in the universe. And each cell by itself has 100 trillion atoms. Can you imagine? I open a can of sardines and think, how'd you put 10 sardines so beautifully in this can, right? Each cell in our bodies and our brains has 100 trillion atoms, right? It's clear that nothing can happen without the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we say every day, those who say it, sometimes they say it, sometimes they don't have time, by the Ikarim of the Rambam, that Hashem is aware of all of our thoughts. Why? Because with 100 billion cells, right, and 100 trillion atoms in each cell, we can't have any thoughts without Hashem. It's impossible to do anything. We can't wink. We can't think. We can't do anything without Hashem. So if I want to transform my negative thought, if I want to stop thinking about the birthmark, if I want to stop thinking about the person I dated last year, or if I want to stop thinking about tax season, or if I want to stop thinking about, I don't want to be in this place, I prefer to be someplace else, or about the piece of cellophane on my shoe and it's Yom Kippur. So it's not something I can do by myself. I can be under the illusion that I'm doing it by myself, but in the reality, I can't do it without Hashem. Now, it's funny. If you know somebody who's ill, so you say Tehillim. If you're in shul, you make a Mishaberach, right? So we say, well, because Hashem, he cures. But it doesn't dawn on us that Hashem can also cure. Hashem can also transform our negative thoughts, right? We say, well, maybe I should have this negative thought. And the answer is no, you shouldn't have it, because it's killing your menuchas nefesh. It's killing your neshama state of mind. If you stay in your negative thought, I mean, there are some things you shouldn't forget, as I said before, but those things are quite rare, right? But most things that you think about that bother you, is he making enough money, or this, or she, this, whatever it is, you don't want to be in a negative state of mind, in a negative thought. You want to be free of it. Why? Because there are so many other things you can learn about this person. You want to be open to be able to learn these things. So what do? You turn to Hashem, right? Just like you would if you had somebody who was not well, and you daven for that person. You're davening for yourself, right? You could daven for yourself. You daven for panosa, right? You daven for a date. You daven for good test results, right? For a good job. Daven for your thoughts, right? So the F stands for freedom, right? We say, Hashem, please free me from this negative thought. I'm not under the illusion I can do it myself. I need you to help me. Now you will know something quite remarkable about what I'm going to be able to be describing, because we're dealing with a progression of how we use our minds, right? In the same way I have a penny, a nickel, a dime, a dollar, $2, $5, we're going a progression of the currency, right? Up to $100, right? It's a progression. In the same way, there are progressions of the quality of our thinking. We started off in a mud hole. We start off in a negative thought. I don't like that tie. I don't like that dress. I don't like that this, right? In a negative thought. We say, wait a minute, I don't want to be here. But I'm in this negative thought that's going to kill my ability to know who this person is and to be myself. I want to be in an SMOM, right? Neshama, state of mind. I want to be Nukos and Nefesh, right? So I turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I have a request, please. Please free me from this negative thought. So Hashem hears you. He hears our tefillos. And he says, Shaya, I'd love to help you stop thinking about the pointy nose or whatever it is, right? Or your tax bill, whatever it is, right? I'd like to help you stop thinking about it. But if I'm going to give you a bracha, every bracha requires what Chazal calls a kli kibul. A kli is a vessel. Kibul is something that receives it, right? A kli kibul. In other words, if I buy my wife flowers, she takes those flowers and puts them in a vase. It's a kli kibul. Every bracha requires a kli kibul, right? Hashem doesn't give me a bracha when I'm in a negative state of mind. I have to do something to get out of it. So what can I do to get out of it? And that's what I discovered that morning in Muncie. I can become a kli kibul just by remembering one thing, by remembering the concept of appreciation. Now, but not just any appreciation. Last week, remember, we learned the inner circle. So what I tell people when I teach them fact is take somebody from your inner circle. And all you have to do is think about that person, see the face, see the eyes. Remember the moment that you with that person. Access that moment, access that person, access that experience of appreciation and say, Hashem, you sent my Zadie into my life, right? Who I love very dearly. You sent my wife into my life. You sent my children into my life. You sent my best friend into my life, right? It can also be something you've achieved, but you appreciate. You access something, preferably someone that you appreciate, my Rebbe, my Rebbetzin, someone, parents, right? And you discover that the moment you access that person, you say, thank you, Hashem. I appreciate that you sent me this person into my life. It shows me that you love me. Right? Remember, that person can't exist without Hashem in the same way you can't, in the same way you can't think. Right? So you're thanking Hashem. Thanking is so important. We say 100 brachas a day. Do you realize that? Why? Those of us who try to say it, some say it without even thinking about it. Because each bracha is a way of appreciating Hashem's greatness. We're here to appreciate Hashem's greatness in our lives, right? It puts a jewel in the crown. I appreciate what you have done for me, Hashem, the gift you've given me. At that moment, you've now gone from a penny to a dollar, right? You've transformed your thinking, right? You've gone from a negative state of mind to being in a negative thought. And then turning to Hashem and say, please help me, give me freedom. Now you've gone on to the next stage of appreciation. You're an even higher state. You've gone up two levels from the original level of being entrapped in the negative thought, which is killing your state of mind, ruining your chance of a relationship, right? Now, we want to go yet to another stage, a higher stage. Remember, we're going up in our currencies. The next stage in our our progression is we're now going to turn to caring. Now, why caring? Because appreciation, I appreciate what you have given me, Hashem. You have given me these gifts. Hashem, I can't thank you enough. However, there is even a higher level. But not that I'm receiving from you, Hashem. There's a higher level. There's a higher level that I want to be your partner, right? I want to be a creator like you. I want to care about people. Why is caring so important? Because when we're in a negative state of mind, we're not being human, right? We're being critical. We're judging a person by a nose, by a birthmark, right? We can't even daven on Yom Kippur because of a piece of cellophane on our shoes. We're not being who we are. We're not being the reason that Hashem created us to be no-say-all, to be caring about another person. But if you think about somebody who is suffering now, right? If I think about somebody who just lost a spouse after 50 years, that person is suffering, right? If I think about somebody who has a broken engagement, that person is suffering, right? If I think about somebody who's lying in a hospital bed in Sloan Kettering, that person is suffering. If I think about somebody, I care about that person. My level of thinking, my level of being is now on a higher level. I may call that person to say, how you're doing, how you're feeling, right? Or I may not call. Even if I don't call, I've elevated my sense of self, right? I am now at the height of my own humanness, right? I've gone from being a pebble, right, in my negative thought, a pebble on a beach, a grain of sand and nothing, just a negative thought, to someone who's soaring. I care about people. I appreciate. My mind is in the stratosphere, right? And at that moment, something else occurs now. In that moment, in my caring, I have now opened myself up to the highest level of all the levels, and that's the level of trust. Because, let me explain this to you, when you saw that nose that was too pointy, when you saw that something on the date that wasn't exactly what you planned, we're not talking about really terrible stuff. We're not talking about a Hell's Angels tattoo, right? We're talking about things that I wasn't looking for this, that wasn't my preference, that wasn't on my bucket list, right? When you saw something that just wasn't what you had planned and you went into a negative state of mind, or you thought that about the taxes, or you thought about whatever, the ticket you got, the speeding ticket that you shouldn't have gotten, whatever the case may be, right? When you think about that, you are cut off from everything important in life. Let me give you an example. Somebody gives you $10 million. You go to the bank. I don't believe it. I park my car. I put a quarter in the meter. I walk into the bank, and they're there. Mr. Ostroff, we're waiting for you. Somebody put $10 million into the bank, and your account. Well, incredible. My aunt, long-lost aunt, who I never even knew, she lived somewhere, who knows where, out west somewhere, and she left me $10 million. I'm dancing. I walk outside. I see there's a meter maid writing out a ticket, waiting for that, knowing that I had 1 minute left, and she was waiting there, right? And I start screaming, don't write the ticket. Why are you, what, just because you have it's the end of the month and you have to write out tickets here. And I am so upset. At that moment, I lost that $10 million. It may be in the bank, but it's not in me anymore, right? I lost it. I don't own it anymore. I gave it up for a $25, $50 ticket, right? I'm in a negative state of mind. So when we go to caring, when we started off by this minor, whatever it was that was bothering us, that put us in a negative state of mind, we were broke. We may have had $50 million in the bank. We had many moments of appreciation. We forgot about them. But now we brought them back to life, and we are living. And now we're on a higher level of caring, right? And caring, and it really is when you care about somebody, you're a human. Now you say, Hashem. We turn to Hashem and say, Hashem. In the same way I care about others, I now remember that you care about me. When you were in the negative state of mind, you didn't know that Hashem cares about you. All you saw was that negative, right? All you saw was that little grain of sand. You didn't see anything, right? All you saw was the meter made by the parking meter, right? All you saw was that pointy nose. You saw nothing. Oh, another broken date, one and done, dead on arrival, getting out of here. I'll be out of here in 20 minutes. No, you want to be yourself. You want to retrieve yourself. You want to be your caring self. And once you're a caring self, I say, Hashem, and right, you should write down this order of these words. Hashem, in the same way that I care about others, I trust that you care about me, right? And when you trust that Hashem cares about you, because you now know what caring is, so now you have returned to Menuchas and Nefesh, right? And this is something I want you to try. This is something I want you to do. I want you to do this like 5-10 times a day. You should practice it. You write it down on a piece of paper, FACT, right? Freedom, appreciation, caring, trust. Listen to this whole thing over again, right? So you got it down. And then you'll use it at work. You walk into work. Somebody bothers you. Go and do fact it, right? You're with a sibling. You're with a parent. Leave me alone. No, fact it, right? You're on a date. Fact it. Practice it even when you're not doing it. You need it. And you see something remarkable. Because once you fact it, once you're going from freedom, appreciation, caring to trust, once you're in trust, you're a benuchas and nefesh, and the whole world opens up to you. Right? It's a whole truth transformation of self. It's a remarkable experience. And ever since I discovered it 6-7 years ago, I must use it 10-15 times a day. Right? Sometimes I'm working with people, I can't do it. I fact it. Sometimes they hear about the news about Israel, all that was showing around us, I fact it. And that's what we do. That's how we go from Pizer and Nefesh, from being fragmented, negative, to Menuchas and Nefesh. That's how we go from an embattled state of mind to a Neshama state of mind. And once we're in that Neshama state of mind, now we can really appreciate, we're open to other things we never would have seen with in this person. Doesn't mean we're going to marry this person. Doesn't mean we're going to be best friends. It means now we're open that we can understand and appreciate who this person is without being caught in these petty, superficial kinds of negative thoughts. And every time you use fact, remember, when you use fact, it's an incredible sense of emunah bitachon. You're asking Hashem. It's like making a bracha. You're putting another jewel in the crown. So let's say you're dating and you use it 10 times in a day. Don't worry, use it. But let's say you're not dating. Let's say you waited a long time and your thoughts are going, well, use fact. Don't permit yourself to go there, right? Let's say you have a friend who just got married and you all of a sudden you feel lonely. Fact it. Now, we talk about feelings in pages and flags, so we're not going to cover those intense feelings. But whenever you have a negative thought, a negative feeling, fact it. You'll see that it's a remarkable, remarkable tool, which really is, I believe, to be one of the most valuable you will ever learn from me or anybody else when it comes to building relationship with anyone. So I think for now, that's what I wanted to teach you for this evening. FACT, fact. And I can now open up questions. I think I hope you can unmute yourselves. Yep. Yeah. I'm just trying to, can I do this over here? As to unmute, I think we need the, I don't know if I can unmute you. I'm very sorry. I can ask you to text me your questions. I think we have a problem because I am not the host on this one. We had a problem getting it started. Well, here we are. Here we are. Okay. Unmute. Good. Okay. Anybody wants to unmute, you can unmute and is lack of meters a reason? Here we are. Sorry. I started reading that quote. Is lack of meters? I'm looking for that. There we are. Okay. Nope. I saw a question there, and I hear it in the chat. Here we go. Lack of meters, and it depends what they are. If someone is, if you see a lack of meters, you're going to have to either through the shatran or directly tell this person or have this person told about what you perceive in the gentle way as a lack of meters. And if it is corrected, then the answer is, that's great. You've achieved something wonderful. And that'll add to the relationship. If the person does not respond or does not wish to respond, it's not a great idea because lack of meters means that that person can't be a caring person. And when you need him in a relationship to be a caring person, he won't be there. He'll insist on driving 85 miles an hour because he makes him feel good, right? So the answer is that it should be discussed with the shatran or with the individual directly, or if you have a dating coach, and how to transmit to that person what you see as, something that, maybe he used language he should have used. Maybe he said Lashon Hara. Maybe, right? Maybe he got angry at somebody, right? Doesn't mean he's that way forever. She's that way forever, but it means that if they won't listen, then there's no reason, then you don't want to continue because then you're going to be the target of the slack of Nifas, right? Okay. Any other questions? What if one feels the opposite, like they don't live up to their date standards? Okay, that we're going to discuss in our next discussion on pages, right? Of how to deal with self-esteem issues. So hold on to that one. Now, should you fact the lack of meters? If it's making you feel bad, then you should fact it. Yes. But that doesn't mean that you disregard it, because it's going to be a very important element if you're trying to develop a relationship with somebody. If you're trying to talk and the person is always interrupting you and arguing with you, if you can't learn not to argue, well, you're not going to go very far with him. And if you do, you're going to be sorry. Is the trust a fact, trust in the boy or in Hashem? It's trust in Hashem, that Hashem has given you the ability to maintain yourself in a neshama state of mind, in a menuchos nefesh state of mind, so that you'll be open to recognizing and discovering your Hashem. So life won't be a series of one and done's, right? Life won't be a series of DOAs, right? You'll be able to take in a person better. You're not trusting the boy. You don't know him yet. You don't know whether you should trust him. He has to win your trust. I always say that you know that you're ready to marry somebody or get engaged when you feel that he or she is the safest address in the universe. But that feeling has to be earned by that person. That person has to be worthy of winning your trust in the way they act, in the way they speak, in their values, in their hashkafas, right? In their sensitivities. Okay? So it's really a trust in Hashem, that Hashem always gives you the ability to regain your footing, to regain your neshama state of mind, to regain your menuchos nefesh, to be able to forget about the cellophane and daven, to be able to forget about the pointy nose and get to know the person, right? To forget about tax season and to be in the moment with the person you're dating, right? Any other questions? Okay. So I think that it kind of covers what I wanted to cover in tonight's meeting. And I would urge you to write down fact on a piece of paper or put it on your phone and to begin using it immediately. If you have any questions, you can certainly text me or you can email me. It's even better. And I will attempt to answer the questions. And I wish you all a very frail Hamporum and look forward to speaking next week. Now, there is an outside chance, I don't know, that we may be going to Eretz Yisrael a little bit earlier. We may be going, and we may be going earlier than I thought. If that's the case, then we probably want to do two meetings next week and one meeting after that. Or else we'll stay with the schedule and we'll finish on time before Pesach. But that depends on many factors. But my goal is to put together five meetings to give you all the, what I believe the essential tools that you need, and which will provide you with the skills and with the hashkafas that you need to discover your Reshert. Have a Frelich and Purim and good night to all. Thank you very much.